Yes, I'm not going to say I'm going to have the last say, because you will have the last say in the workshops, and that's the whole point of having the workshops at the end, so that you're not just listening to us, we can also listen to you. So here we go. Where do we go from here? An overview of the thoughts and actions of the Christian Vegetarian Association UK. Can you all hear me?
Not well.
Turn my hearing aid up then. I'll try and speak a little bit louder. How's that? Right. That's usually beyond me, but I'll try. I have always considered myself a backroom boy, an organiser. I am not a theologian or an accomplished speaker. Also, I cannot speak for all CVO UK members. So the best contribution I can make to this conference must be based on my own experience as co-founder and administrator of CVA UK. I sincerely believe that the driving force behind my endeavours to establish and maintain a Christian vegetarian organisation can be traced back to two encounters I have had with God. My first encounter was in 1986. A few months after giving my life to Jesus. It all started when my church ran a 6-week Saints Alive course. At the end of the course, we asked God to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. But nothing happened to me. Early the next morning, while getting ready for work, I was extremely disappointed and very angry with God, who had so obviously rejected me. However, at one point during my ramblings and ravings, I promised God that no matter what happened, God could ignore me as much as he liked, but I would still follow him and would never leave him. What happened next was not only unexpected, but completely overpowering. I experienced an amazing feeling of joy as I was drenched in God's love. I finally managed to get to my car, and remember thinking, if a policeman saw me now, he would think I was drunk. How I managed to control myself during the next 3 days, I do not know. That was 24 years ago, and I still have a residue of that love and joy today. My second encounter with God happened a few years later. We had become members of a well-attended evangelical church. I was taking the dogs for a walk before church and was feeling very happy and singing Christian songs. When all of a sudden I became tearful and distraught and received a message, "Why are you hiding my glory?" That was it, nothing more. However, that Sunday morning I stood up before the whole church and described what had happened. After consulting with other elders, the senior elder stated that he believed that I had received the word from God and that he knew why. Apparently, an amazing healing had happened 2 weeks earlier at one of our training courses chaired by Jennifer Rees-Larkham, a disabled Christian in a wheelchair. During prayers, a young Christian lady felt a strong urge to inform Jennifer Rees-Larkham that God wanted to heal her. And she was immediately healed. She came into the church in a wheelchair and left the church holding the wheelchair above her head. However, the elders were very worried and did not immediately broadcast the event. Their concern, how would a young Christian be able to cope with the publicity? However, after my message, they immediately organised a church meeting attended by Jennifer Rees-Larkham and her husband to explain what had happened. Looking back, I now believe that these two encounters with God were designed to both strengthen my faith and to test my obedience to his will. These experiences left me in no doubt that God exists, and how we respond to his guidance and commands is significant. Why CVA UK? Well, I'm not going to go into the history of CVA UK and Veg for Lent, but I have given you a little booklet which is the history basically of vegetarianism, which Father John's wife wrote. And so I'm going straight on to my own thoughts from now. When I retired in 1996, my main concern was the welfare of animals. Due to the disability of my wife Audrey, I joined my nearest church, St Mary's Lippook, in 1998. To my surprise, my new vicar encouraged and improved and approved articles I wrote on the care of animals in a church magazine. However, he left, and during interregnum, a church leader told me to take my funny ideas elsewhere. However, I was convinced that the Lord wanted me to stay, so I stayed. Our new vicar, however, considered animal blessing services too sentimental. Why is it all right to ask God to bless humans, but too sentimental to bless animals? It soon became obvious that vegetarianism was going to be the final direction of my work. I felt like Jonah and said, "Oh Lord, not vegetarianism. This is an impossible task. Any attempt to discuss a plant-based diet will meet with even greater opposition, anger and denial." The scale of my task was soon confirmed when a vegetarian acquaintance in an evangelical church I had just left was given an ultimatum: give up being a vegetarian or leave the church. As he was in full ministry, he gave up his vegetarian diet. The objectives of CBA UK: to support and encourage vegetarian Christians in the UK, to share with non-vegetarian Christians how a vegetarian diet can add meaning to their faith, to show to all with ears to hear that a plant-based way of life represents good, responsible Christian stewardship for all of God's creation. CBA UK is affiliated to the International Vegetarian Union and the Christian Vegetarian Association in America, who have been extremely supportive of CBA UK. Over the past few years, CBA UK has endeavoured to challenge both the church and environmental organisations who ignore our vegetarian message. Many only favour lifestyle adjustments such as driving small cars, reducing your energy, recycling. Rarely do we hear our church or ecology group calling for a move towards a plant-based diet. This strategy may be politically wise in that it does not scare away meat-eating Christians from the church, or members from the ecological group. However, this failure to encourage a plant-based diet profoundly undermines the credibility of these institutions. The philosophy behind CBA UK. Down through history, there have been sages and philosophers, as we've heard today, or at this conference, who have taught that within each of us there is a part of us that extends compassion to all of God's creation. However, in today's world, the future of humankind must depend on more than just a few wise people understanding this concept. If we are going to survive, we need an ever-increasing numbers of people to incorporate this understanding into their everyday lives. The health and survival of the human species may ultimately depend on how deeply we grasp the reality of our dependence on God and our understanding and compassion towards all of God's creation. CBA UK believe that Christians are called to transform their minds by bringing them in line with the teachings of Jesus. How can we say we love God and his creation, then refuse to even acknowledge the violence and cruelty of a meat-based diet, especially when we do not need meat or dairy to live long and healthy lives? As Christians, our brutality towards God's creation and our brutality towards God's creatures and our pollution of his creation should be a wake-up call, especially in today's world, which is seeing a massive increase in meat consumption due to the rise in affluence of countries like China, India and China, who view the adoption of a meat-based diet as a status symbol. I am convinced that with all its delusions and broken dreams, our world today is still a place where our hearts can meet and grow. There is horror and agony here, yes, and it is at times overwhelming. But there are also countless opportunities for the illumination of beauty and the awakening of love. We are here to live, not merely survive. We are here to fully express and celebrate the gifts that God has given us, to be good stewards and to care for a world he declared good, to be God's ambassadors by ruling in his image of love. So as Christians, we do have a choice, to be accomplices in this violent world system, or to follow the radical teachings of Jesus by becoming witnesses to God's violence-free, altruistic new world, God's peaceful kingdom. However, in these troubled times, this hope can seem like a romantic dream, especially as the news is always filled with cruelty, violence and humanity's failure. But CBA UK believe that the real good news can be found not in our technological advances, but through our obedience to the prime directives of Jesus, love. Excuse me a minute. My mouth's getting dry. CBA UK believes that every creature should be allowed to enjoy God's gift of life and that humanity has no right to take that gift away from them. However, due to our indifference to Jesus' message of love, Christians continue to sanction violence and cruelty even to their own species, where in this affluent world, 20,000 children a day still die from hunger and poverty. Many say the problems are too big. We cannot do anything about it. CBA UK believe that Christians can make a significant contribution towards God's new peaceful kingdom here and now by simply removing meat and dairy from their diet. Jesus is the apotheosis of being human, and Christians who follow his non-violent teachings are part of the new humanity that he brought into existence through his resurrection. Further experiences of myself and our members. About 6 years ago, I arranged a meeting with my house group leader, who was also a preacher, to explain my reasons for being vegetarian. During the meeting, he told me that he would die if he gave up meat. When I pointed out that I had been a vegetarian for 14 years and didn't think I was dead, he lost his temper and threw me out the house. However, I still remained a member of his house group. I bet that didn't please him. And a few months later, at the end of a meeting, he leaned over and asked if I approved of animal experiments. When I said no, he again lost his temper and stormed out of the room. Even though our verbal exchange had been private, he wrote a letter to the vicar falsely accusing me of damaging the faith of new Christians in the group. When asked, the new Christians concerned informed the vicar that they had not been aware of our conversation. Most CBA UK members have experienced similar encounters in their church. Very few have found a church receptive to our message. Methodist and Salvation Army members are very surprised to hear that their founders embraced a plant-based diet. However, that knowledge did not make them more receptive to our message. Robin, a CBA UK member, relates the following experiences. A Salvation Army major told me that if the Salvation Army were to become vegetarian church, she would have to join a different denomination. A member of the same Salvation Army church said, "Get behind me, vegan." Instead of "get behind me, Satan." The same person told me that she was helping to create a banner featuring a zoo, when in fact it was a Noah's Ark. I took a bag of vegan products, i.e. washing up liquids, to my local Anglican church for them to use, I was told not to bring any more. Having put a carton of soya milk on the refreshments table, I was told to not do so in the future, as the people doing the teas and coffees found it too complicated to have both soya and cow's milk displayed. Robin continues, on another occasion, I gave the same vegan information to the vicar of the same church, herself a vegetarian, and she rather abruptly informed me that she was far too busy to look at it. Beth, a CBA UK member and a Mormon, wanted to discuss with church leaders why the church never referred to the Word of Wisdom, section 89, verses 12 and 13. Verse 12 states, "Yea, flesh also of beasts and the fowls of the air, I, the Lord, have ordained for the use of man with thanksgiving. Nevertheless, they are to be used sparingly." 13 states, "And it is pleasing unto me that they should not be used only in times of winter or cold or famine. In other words, only when absolutely necessary." Over a 2-year period, Beth sent letters about her concern to not only her local church, but also the highest authority in the USA, in an attempt to receive some clarification. Finally, she had an official meeting with her stake president, whatever that is, and bishop. To cut a long story short, they refused to address her concerns, and she was told that her interpretation was wrong, and she was not to correspond on the subject anymore. At the end of the meeting, the bishop said, "You are enforcing your thinking. You are doing nothing for the world." Why do Christians try to use the Bible to refute our message of compassion and mercy? The main stumbling block to CBA UK's message is anthropocentrism, and I think you all know what that means. But it does mean interpreting the universe exclusively in terms of human values rather than God's values, resulting in indifference to animal suffering on the one hand and the denial of our destruction of God's creation on the other. To this end, Christians turn to isolated passages in the Bible to justify their attitude. So CBA UK now recommend that vegetarians approach Christians with moral rather than biblical reasons. To illustrate this point, after 8 years, my new vicar finally became very supportive by organising, with my help and then leading, an environmental course during Lent 2008 and 2009, from which we formed a monthly ecology prayer group, also led by the vicar. This gave me the platform I needed to gently voice my concerns about animals and the environment and our need to consider lifestyle changes. However, half the people left the group on the pretext that we were making God too small. I suppose they meant we should leave everything to God, a good excuse to do nothing. To my surprise, the vicar actually went vegetarian during Lent 2010. Wow. And just when we appeared to be making progress, the vicar left. The good news is that after 18 months, the ecology prayer group still meet once a month and are quite happy to include my concerns in our prayers and activities. A further illustration, in 2009 I was discussing vegetarianism on the United Christian Broadcasting email come phone-in, the big discussion. This was around Lent time as well. And the first half hour I based my reasoning on the Bible. During musical interludes, the presenter stated that many emails were too nasty to read over the air. I then decided to change my tactics, and I used moral reasons. The number of emails and calls reduced considerably. By removing any reference to the Bible from my argument, dissenting Christians could no longer challenge my reasoning. Our interpretation of the Bible. CBA UK believe that the Bible should not be used to justify the ways of humankind, but to seek the face of God. Walter Wink wrote, "Anyone who needs scriptural guidance to decide that destroying the ecosystem is wrong is a moral idiot." Is the Bible infallible, or do we need clarification? Do we need to identify divine inspiration from human manipulation? Do Christians need some guiding principles to direct their understanding? CBA UK believe that Jesus has given Christians a prime directive to help us discover God's message from human to distinguish from human prejudices and passions. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbour as yourself. All the law of the prophets hang on these two commandments. In both Jewish and Christian traditions, these two commandments should rule supreme. So any interpretation that contradicts these two commands cannot represent divine inspiration. This approach was supported by Pope John Paul II, who stated, "Any interpretation of the Bible that contradicts a rational understanding of God's goodness and mercy is incorrect." To assist our understanding, Christ did all he could to divert our attention from the letter of the law, what is written, and direct our attention to obeying the spirit of the law, the basic principle. In brief, get the message of what I am telling you and then try to apply it in the ever-changing circumstances of life. I am not giving you a rule of thumb for every possible contingency. I am giving you intelligence. I am giving you free will. And above all, I am giving you my spirit. Take and use all these to discover the true character of God. Jesus confirms that his instructions were not complete and that he has more to teach us through the Holy Spirit. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth and he will tell you what is yet to come. In other words, the written word alone can never tell you all you need to know in every future circumstance you find yourself in. The Bible does not contain all that Jesus wanted to teach us. This will only be made known to us when we need it or are ready to receive it by the Holy Spirit. So why do vegetarian Christians see our diet as a response to Jesus' message of faith, hope and love, while carnivore Christians do not? The following are extracts from Why We Love Dogs, Eat Pigs and Wear Cows by Melanie Joy, PhD, Professor of Psychology. We all know what a vegetarian is, a person who doesn't eat meat. Though some people may choose to become vegetarian to improve their health, many vegetarians stop eating meat because they don't believe it's ethical to eat animals. Most of us realize that vegetarianism is an expression of one's ethical orientation. So when we think of a vegetarian, we don't simply think of a person who does just like everyone else, except that he or she doesn't eat meat. We think of a person who has a certain philosophical outlook, whose choice not to eat meat is a reflection of a deeper belief system in which killing animals for human ends is considered unethical. We understand that vegetarianism reflects not merely a dietary orientation, but a way of life. Excuse me. She continues. In contrast, the term meat eater isolates the practice of consuming meat as though it were divorced from a person's beliefs and values. It implies that the person who eats meat is acting outside a belief system. But is eating meat truly a behaviour that exists independent of a belief system? do we eat pigs and not dogs because we don't have a belief system when it comes to eating animals? As humans, we do not see meat eating as we do vegetarianism, as a choice based on a set of assumptions about animals and our world and ourselves. Rather, we see it as a given, the natural thing to do, the way things have always been and the way things always will be. We eat animals without thinking about what we are doing and why, because the belief system that underlies this behaviour is invisible. The invisible belief system is what I call carnism. She continues, It is a sight to behold. Children giggle and clap. Mothers and fathers smile fondly. And everyone seems determined to touch and be touched by pigs, cows and pigeons and chickens. Yet these people, who feel so deeply compelled to make contact with the animals, will soon leave the grocery store with bags containing beef, ham and chicken. These people, who would undoubtedly rush to the aid of one of the barnyard animals were it suffering, are somehow not enraged that 10 billion of them are suffering needlessly every year within the confines of an industry that is left entirely unaccountable for its actions. Where has our empathy gone? She continues, in order to consume the meat of the very species we have caressed a few minutes before, we must believe so fully in the justness of eating animals that we are spared the consciousness of what we are doing. To this end, we are taught to accept a series of myths that maintain that the carnistic system and to ignore the inconsistencies in the stories we tell ourselves. Violent ideologies rely on promoting fiction as fact and discouraging any critical thinking that threatens to expose the truth. There is a vast mythology surrounding meat, but all the myths are in one way or another related to what I refer to as the three ends of justification. Eating meat is normal, natural, and necessary. The three ends have been invoked to justify all exploitative systems from African slavery to the Nazi Holocaust. When an ideology is in its prime, these myths rarely come under scrutiny. However, when the system finally collapses, the three ends are recognised as ludicrous. The three ends are so ingrained in our social consciousness that they guide our actions without our even having to think about them. They think for us. They have internalised them so fully that we often live in accordance with their tenets, as though they were universal truths rather than widely held opinions. They alleviate the moral discomfort we might otherwise feel when eating meat, and we have a good excuse for our behaviours. We feel less guilty about them. The three ends essentially act as mental and emotional blinders, masking the discrepancies in our beliefs and behaviours towards animals and explaining them away if we do happen to catch on. So where does CBA UK go from here? CBA UK members are wanderers in a lonely wilderness, trying every tool they know to reach non-vegetarian Christians with our violence-free message. Should we worry about why Christians initially become vegetarians? A CVA UK member, Elizabeth, wrote, "The system seemed back to front. I only discovered the many reasons for becoming veggie after I became one." A man in an old Jewish joke prayed fervently to the Lord to win the lottery. Eventually, he shook his fist heavenward and demanded God to explain why he wasn't answering the man's fervent prayer. "My son," God replied, "you need to come halfway to meet me. You could at least buy a ticket." Through witnessing, CBA UK should encourage Christians to buy a ticket. and start their journey towards the peaceable kingdom. Why? Because our land, needs God's healing hand. Oceans are being poisoned and raped. Forests are being trashed, and with them our biodiversity, plants and wild animals. Soil is degrading and deserts spreading. Water and air are being polluted and fresh water is disappearing. It is vandalism on a massive scale, and each act threatens the stability of life. In 1 Chronicles 7:14, God tells us, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." So we should be humble. We are to be servant kings, not tyrants. Pray. We must take our concerns to God and seek his advice, his guidance. Seek his face. We must get to know his character of love before we can act in his image. What are these wicked ways? God and the teachings of Jesus have made it perfectly clear that he hates cruelty and violence. And God said to Noah, "I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them." And God said to Isaiah, "They shall not hurt nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." So once we know what God really wants, we won't want violence. That's very obvious. And I think violence is the key word. Jesus said twice, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Heal our land. I sincerely believe that at the right time, heaven will come down to earth and inaugurate the new peaceable kingdom. This is my hope. Fundamentally, our work is about engaging with the issues raised and making deliberate, positive decisions, living with purpose rather than living by default. Indeed, living according to God's purpose rather than living according to the world's standards. Too often Christians can use their faith as an excuse to take a step back and avoid the difficult choices rather than allowing it to influence the whole of their lives. We fail to meet the challenge of being in the world, but not of the world. As such, we miss too many opportunities to live as God intended, to be salt and light to others, and to shape the world in which we live. Saint Augustine once said, "Without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not." CVA UK members may be in the desert, where we will feel lonely, but it is a place where God's loving voice can be heard in our hearts and witnessed through our thoughts and actions. Bruce Freibrich of PETA writes, Vegetarianism allows me to live my values, to pray ceaselessly, as St. Paul puts it. Every time I sit down to eat, I cast my lot for mercy against misery, for the oppressed against the oppressor, and for compassion against cruelty. There is a lot of suffering in the world, but how much suffering can be addressed with literally no time or effort on our part? We can just stop supporting it by making different choices. So where do we go from here? Has vegetarianism a future in the Christian faith and church? Since the birth of Jesus, God's non-violent, yes, vegan kingdom has been here on earth. So it is not a journey in space, but a journey in time. But like the man in the Jewish joke, as followers of Jesus, we must start that journey by buying a ticket. But that ticket can only be purchased by giving our life, including our lifestyle, to Jesus Christ. Thank you. Any questions?
I don't want to make a question, I just want to make a comment. I found that really moving, but also really very depressing. Because I certainly, as a vegan, I feel utterly in the wilderness. And my main reason for being here today is that I hoped that I could find some kindred spirits who actually want to go on the same journey, but also I want to know how to do something and what to do, because it's like banging one's head against a brick wall. And you've given lots of examples. It made me feel even more depressed.
Oh, no.
I may as well give up.
I just wanted to lay the ground of what the opposition we get.
And, oh, I know.
And to look into this in a way of sort of, you've got to know the problem before you can solve it, you know.
But I think for me it's a way forward.
One of the ways you can go forward is by joining us and volunteering to serve on the committee.
Robin.
If I can just add a bit of positivity. I've run a group called The Way in the Wilderness, and we know what the wilderness is. What I do with Janie and three other people, there's only five of us, is that we promote veganism from street stalls, and we've started doing them outside Westminster Cathedral in London, and we get a very, very good reception there. We've had the priest from the cathedral coming over and taking vegan recipes. We've had nuns coming up to the store. Yeah. Don has done the stores with us. It's a very, very positive thing. It's a fantastic atmosphere. Janie did the store for the first time a couple of weeks ago. She felt a really positive atmosphere, didn't you? I also founded another group, which is more of an alliance. It's an alliance between The Way in the Wilderness and the Christian Vegetarian Association UK. And not only does it promote veganism, it also promotes, Jesus' ministry talked about, you know, the dispossessed, the people that were suffering in the world, the blind, the disabled, the homeless, the hungry, etc. And the Christian Alliance supports the needy amongst people too. And also the fact that it's Christian Alliance for Love and Fellowship. Love and Fellowship being the two royal commandments. And also Christian Alliance for Love and Fellowship spells calf. And I think the calf is probably the most innocent of all the animals. So it's a very, very positive thing. And I would encourage people here to do their own street stalls, to get information from CBO UK, to get information from Animal Aid and the Vegan Society. So we have vegan recipes. We give out free fruit on our stall as well, because we believe that fruit is the perfect gift of God. It is the perfect food, actually. And that's a very positive way forward. And we can all do that. But we need a pacing table, the information, fruit, and you're off.
Thank you, Robin. Great. Yes.
Yeah. Ask you about a couple of people mentioned, I think, now.
I've got a hearing aid, so.
A couple of people, I think, have mentioned now Veg for Lent.
Yes.
I wonder if you could tell us. My understanding is that that's not current. That campaign isn't currently active.
Well, it's active within the CBO UK,
but it isn't
actually being taken up very much, because people have become so despondent, and I think Wendy can probably tell you more about that, who's been a CBA member for 10 years.
Probably.
Mm. Yes, where she really got involved in the Veg for Lent campaign, but it just never produced any response, and they've become so despondent that the whole thing has tended to collapse, to be perfectly honest. Well, it's not that we don't want to push it, but it's getting people to do so. You know, the whole point was that when I was a member of a team of three called Veg for Lent, and that was myself, John Gilheeny, and Tony Neesham. And when Tony married an American and went to America, and John Gilheeny felt he had to spend more time researching in the British Library, because he was writing a book, which I think he's now been trying to publish, it left me. And so I thought, well, how am I going to carry on Veg for Lent? And I thought, well, I need more people to help me. And so I started then sort of opening up Veg for Lent for others to join. But then I felt it was a little bit restrictive, because we were just talking about Lent, which a lot of Christians don't even sort of recognise, and we were doing it just in a particular time of the year. So I thought we needed to go on beyond that, and that's how CBA UK came about.
Wonderful.
Could I just jump in there? Maybe it's a good idea to get some sort of celebrity to promote veg for them, like Paul McCartney or Tony Benn would be good.
Well, we're hoping that they know about us. I mean, Twinkle, who was a celebrity in the
60s.
In the 60s. She knows these people, and she is a member of CBA UK as well. And we're hoping, and we know that she is pushing information out to them, but so far they haven't contacted us. And also, I mean, the good way of doing it is that we've produced Christmas cards and Easter cards with our message on, and she sends all those out to all the various well-known people that she knows. And, you know, but so far, we just got to wait on the Lord for this, I think, you know, to a certain extent. I could make a direct approach, I suppose, but that might be a way forward. Sorry, Wendy. Yeah.
No, I just wanted to say, we were very disappointed, weren't we, with the minimum response from bishops when we did that mailing all over.
Oh, yes, yes.
There was very little feedback, sadly.
Well, my last bishops I sent out to the Catholic bishops, I never got a single reply.
Really?
Not a single one.
Not surprised.
Which means that they, as Debbie probably mentioned, that they probably got together and decided not to reply.
No, they each individually decide not to reply.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Because that's the default.
And there my letter was pointing out the moral aspects rather than the biblical aspects. Mm. The Church of England has a little bit better record. I managed to get about a 20% reply from them. Not all positive, but at least it was a reply. They were thinking about it.
I think actually Veg for Lent would be a good thing to promote because, as you know, most Christians are still meat eaters. It's a limited period. You can give it a try.
That's right.
It was a traditional time of fasting. It would do far more good than, well, I mean, you know, than the traditional giving up chocolate or maybe giving up alcohol, which quite a few people do.
It's a great idea.
I personally became vegetarian for the second time in my life by giving up meat for Lent and deciding I didn't want to go back to it.
No.
The difficulty is getting it out to the people because most things don't go further than the clergyman's desk. To get out to the people, unfortunately, needs money. We have the professional actors, we have the filmmakers who would make the advert for us for nothing.
Really?
It is getting it up there.
Yeah.
That is the difficulty. But it's the difficulty of getting it past the clergyman's desk. Most things get no further than that. I know, I am one.
One could do something like a trawl church websites, because sometimes it's just the clergyman's email, other times there's sort of office mail or warden's mails too.
Yes.
And obviously there's a cost in time emailing people or developing email lists, but there isn't a cost in postage or photocopying or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if more people became involved, I mean, we could do quite a lot on the internet in advertising it and approaching churches via emails rather than via letter, so that perhaps even their own members would see it rather than just rely on the vicar.
Don, there's been a hand up there for you.
I think Veg for Lent's like a really good thing, but I think it's really important to like instead of make sure it's not just the absence of meat, but eating nicely and vegetarianly, because I had a co-worker who gave up meat for Lent, and now he's absolutely convinced he could never be a vegetarian, so it's depressing, and all the food tasted terrible. And I'm pretty sure it's because he just kind of ate the same thing and left it out. And
this is the problem. He just had meat and veg without the meat.
Yes.
And three vegetables.
Yeah.
Yeah, typical English overboard vegetables is not very attractive.
Yeah. Sorry, yes.
I really take your point about it being difficult to communicate with Christians from a theological perspective, and often a moral one is an easy one to come to. But we do have to make that thing. And I'll just say that I've been... I run a Christian learning program, workshop, which I've been doing for 28 years, and most of that time I've been arguing very strongly for a vegetarian perspective. The whole programme is based around the biblical vision of shalom. And I have found that when people's thinking about the big picture in terms of what God is wanting to do and where the universe is going, to then bring in a challenge. I mean, also on things like non-violence, and I think, I don't know where we're going to go this afternoon, but, you know, conversation between vegetarians, vegans, and peacemakers, and that kind of, all of this is all a piece.
That's right.
I have found a significant amount of positive response. I've seen many people become vegetarians over the years.
Could you let me have information about your ministry?
Yeah, certainly I can. Thank you. Put some leaflets on it on the side there if you want.
Oh, right, yes, please.
Yeah, and I take your point, you know, practical, but there are ways in, and I'm hoping maybe this afternoon.
Well, this is what the,
we can,
to me, this is what the you know, it's all about the theologians want to get something from it, but so do I at CBA UK.
Yeah.
We've got time for one or two more.
Would it be an idea for the Christians to follow the Hare Krishna method of service? They have an early morning service every day and free breakfast, free veggie breakfast. Why don't the Christians do that? Because I think it would attract more people to Christianity. And also you're pushing vegetarians.
Yeah, but you've got to change the church before you can do anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, CBA can't do it because I need helpers, and all our helpers are spread all over the country. We've got to have 150 members, but there's probably 50 miles at least. The nearest members are about 50 miles away. So we can't run anything like that. And anyway, we look for upon ourselves as a resource site. I don't ask for membership or anything, fees or anything like that. All I ask is that they pay me for stuff that I send them, hard copies of leaflets and things like this. So we see, as I am basically the be-all and end-all of CAFCO, okay, as far as running it goes, I can only do so much. But of course, with meetings like this, I'm hoping that I may be able to expand that and have a proper committee of members where each of them are doing something and taking up in. I mean, I'm 80 next birthday, so I hope that I will leave CBA UK in the hands of somebody. And so, you know, I think it's important that we try and spread the leadership, shall we say, out, so that if any of us fall by the wayside, there are others to pick up the gauntlet and carry on.